Chapter 16. Bly gave Barnes instructions of where to take us, and the commander thanked us again for the briefcase before we left. It felt like a weight had been lifted from our shoulders, and I noticed the girls' mood seemed to lift as well. They giggled as we followed Barnes back outside, and Barnes glanced back at them more than once.
"I feel about a stone lighter,"
Becca said, as we stepped onto the tarmac.
"We did it. I think we're officially spies now."
There was a roar of a chainsaw, and then the sound of something trying to cut through a very thick piece of meat. "I hope that's not what's for dinner," I laughed.
"I think we still have some chicken left," Barnes said, and he smiled for the first time since we had been there.
"What do you think it tastes like?"
Haywan asked.
"Dino meat, that is."
"Ew, Haywan!"
Becca giggled.
"We've smelled dead dinos, and it isn't exactly mouth-watering."
"To be fair," I said, "cows don't exactly smell great when they're alive, but I would kill for a good steak."
"Steak," Barnes groaned, as he led us across the runway. "I would give my right arm for a medium-rare sirloin."
"With creamy mash,"
Becca added.
"And peppercorn sauce."
"Stop. This is more painful than anything we've experienced on this whole trip."
"Well, it won't quite be steak," Barnes said. "But the hot meals here are decent enough. We've got a spare hut for you, too. It's pretty nice. Good bed, a TV, bath."
"Bath?"
Haywan gasped.
"I haven't had a bath in forever. Why is nobody using it?"
"Someone did," Barnes said. "But we lost them a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure they would have loved you to have it for the night."
We arrived at one of the small huts, and Barnes handed me a keycard.
"Dinner in the main building in about half an hour," he said. "Feel free to use whatever is in there. And thank you again, all of you."
The large man gave us a salute. Then he spun around and marched over to bark orders at the soldiers by the dead dino. "This may be the safest place we could possibly spend the night," I said, as I swiped the keycard over the lock. "Let's have a look at our quarters for the night." We stepped into the military quarters, and it felt like being in a secluded cabin. There was a small area with a television and a slightly bashed-up cream-colored sofa with a large box of DVDs beside it. I stepped through another doorway and into a decent-sized bedroom with a king-sized bed. There was a private bathroom just off the bedroom that had a small tub with a shower head along with the toilet and sink. There was a pile of towels on the bed, which was perfectly made up by whichever officer or scientist had stayed here last.
"This place is great,"
Becca gasped.
"Can we watch a movie tonight? I haven't watched telly in so long."
"Sounds good. It almost feels like our own little home. Maybe one day we'll have one for real, just the three of us."
"Maybe four,"
Becca said as she ran a hand over her still flat stomach.
"And my mom. That makes five. Oh, and then the babies Haywan gives you.
Our home would be so beautiful,"
Haywan said as she looked through the DVDs.
"No dinos. Just us all together and happy. I want to find one.
Can that be our next quest, after we find Mum? A search for a little cozy home?"
"You don't want another top-secret government mission?" I asked playfully as I grabbed Becca by the waist. "Who knows how many briefcases are out there just waiting to be delivered?"
"Well, someone else can do it,"
Becca said as she reached up to kiss my cheek.
"I want to make out with you and eat chocolate in a blanket."
"Okay, you've convinced me," I grinned, as I collected one of the towels. "I'm going to clean up a little before we go to eat."
"Okay."
Becca smiled as she sat beside Haywan to rifle through the movie choices. I watched them for a moment, and then I grabbed a towel from the bed and then moseyed into the bathroom. I turned the shower on, tested the water, and then peeled off everything before I stepped into the tub. I was happy to feel warm water flow over my body once more, and I stood under the steady flow for several minutes just to revel in the warmth. The temperature was perfect, and I could feel the stresses fall away as the heat of the water hugged my body. Part of me wanted to call the girls in to join me, but I needed to take that moment for myself. Just to be in quiet warmth and not have anything to focus on was a rare pleasure. When I felt nearly human again, I used some of the generic body wash on the shelf to clean up. Layers of grime washed away, and I was amazed to see clean skin once again. I spent about 10 minutes in the water, and then I forced myself to turn the water off and step out onto the white tiles. I toweled off and then tied the terry cloth around my waist. "The shower is great," I called as I stepped back into the bedroom to get dressed. Good pressure, and it's really warm.
I'm going to have a bath later,
Haewon said.
I can't wait.
When I was dressed, I joined the girls in the living room and sank into the sofa. It wasn't too soft, but after the day I had, it felt like the comfiest spot in the world.
It's the little things, isn't it?
Becca smiled as she watched me.
The things you miss the most from before. I always thought I couldn't live without my laptop and hair curlers. Turns out, I just need the people I love. And maybe the occasional gin. Shall we go and see what's for dinner?
Haewon asked as her stomach growled. Yeah, I said. Let's see what they whipped up with all that dino meat. Becca slapped me playfully on the arm, and after a brief tug of war, we walked over to the door and opened it. We were hit with the unpleasant stench of dead dinosaur as soon as we did, and I saw both girls recoil for a moment. The chainsaw noises had stopped, and I risked a glance down the runway to see what the soldiers had managed to do. That's the second headless dino I've seen today, I said, as we looked at the severed neck of the creature. The soldiers had done a good job and had managed to do it quietly. The head and legs had been removed, which meant the gateway was closed once more. The huge body sprawled out on the ground was a grim sight. But my mind was more focused on the promise of a hot meal.
Well, that's only slightly traumatizing,
Becca said.
I think that would be the moment that I would question my commitment to the military. I didn't hear any planes,
Haewon observed as we made our way down the runway.
That means somebody carried the head out of here.
They should put it on a spike, I said. Leave it in front of the base as a warning to all other dinos who come by. We laughed, and even though there was a chill in the air, I felt nothing but warmth as my two girls made jokes and smiled wider than they had in days.
Jason, Barnes said as he emerged from the front of the black building. Ladies, please go in and help yourselves. There's plenty to go around.
Thanks, I said as we headed inside. We were greeted by the smell of spices and cooked meat as soon as we crossed the threshold. I heard my stomach rumble, and I knew that I didn't even care if it was dino meat. But the room we stepped into wasn't very bright, and it took a moment to sort out exactly what I was seeing. As my eyes got used to the dim light, I saw that the hangar held a hodgepodge of items. There were five small planes in the back, while the front half held an array of organized and labeled boxes, which all seemed to have various types of ammo and guns inside, as well as the buffet. Tables loaded with food had been set out close to the door, and a few soldiers had already started to load up their plates. Mismatched tables were dotted throughout the hangar, and I spotted several people already seated at those closest to the food. "Let's eat," I said, and we made our way over to see what was on offer. It looked like there was a chicken dish and a tomato sauce, a vegetable curry, and a pasta dish. We grabbed plates, and we scooped a bit of everything onto the plastic. Then we found a table to sit down to eat. I took a bite of the curry, and while it was nowhere near as good as Farid's had been, it hit the spot after a day of battling dinosaurs. In fact, everything was warm and filling, and we wolfed down our plates as we listened to the chatter of the table behind us.
"I'm fucking covered in this stuff, mate," one soldier said. "I'm going to have a shower for a week to get it out of me air."
"Vile, absolutely vile," another deeper voice agreed. "Do you think that spot will keep opening up?"
"I bloody hope not," the first boy said. "Imagine if these had been T-Rexes. We would all be dead in seconds."
"You wouldn't be, Jason,"
Becca whispered.
"Maybe you should get a job here. Show these guys how to really fight the dinos."
I smiled at the gorgeous blonde, and then I shoved the last of my food into my mouth as the conversation behind us continued.
"No wonder Murray left," the deeper voice said gloomily. "At this rate, we're all probably better off calling it a day and spending what time we've got left with our families. There's no stopping it. They're just going to keep coming."
"Oi, you," the first voice said. "American boy."
"Yeah?" I asked, as I turned around in my seat. The man who spoke to me was probably a little younger than me, and his most notable feature was his wispy ginger mustache. He was rail thin, though to judge by the food piled on his plate, he was eating well enough. His companion, on the other hand, had a bulldog build and a tattoo of the English flag on his neck.
"How did you know what to do?"
the mustache man asked.
"How many of those things have you met out there?"
I've honestly lost count, I said. "I'm Jason, by the way, and these two are Haewon and Becca."
"I'm Gary," the thin man said. "This here is Tubbs."
"Are you military?"
Tubbs asked as he scratched his tattooed neck.
"Nope,
just students who got lucky.
Got lucky is an understatement, mate,
Gary said, as he looked at the two beautiful girls beside me.
Either one of you ladies fancy a nightcap over at my hut? I've got some banging weed left over.
No thanks,
Becca laughed.
We'll be sleeping in Jason's bed tonight. And every other night,
Haywan added.
Bloody hell,
Gary sighed as he shook his head.
You must have been a bloody saint in a past life, mate.
What was in that case?
Tubbs asked.
Did you look inside?
No, I lied. It was sealed up really well, so we didn't get to see it. I just hope it's something useful.
Useful? Gary scoffed. Unless it's a magic button to stop those hoes appearing, there's nothing useful at this point. Those dinosaurs are going to keep coming until the world is overrun with them. There's not enough bullets in the world for them, and humans will go extinct soon enough.
I don't think so, I said. We've traveled pretty far and seen a lot of strong people keeping themselves alive and protecting each other. I think if we can keep doing that, we've got a chance.
Do you think it's aliens?
Tubbs asked. I almost laughed, but he looked deadly serious.
Aliens?
Haywan asked.
The dinosaurs?
Yeah, the large soldier said. I mean, we think they're dinosaurs because they look like them. But what if it's actually shape-shifting aliens that are here to take over Earth?
I mean, it's really not that different, I said. The fact is, these things are coming through portals from another world or dimension. Whatever they are, we just need to work out how to seal these gaps up.
You really think that's possible?
Gary asked, as he pushed the food on his plate around. Yeah, I nodded. I do. You have to. It's the only way to keep going. The soldiers looked at me in silence and then continued to eat. We turned back to our own meals and scraped our plates clean. I leaned back in my chair when I was done and felt a kind of happy drowsiness that I hadn't felt in a while.
Oh, that was good,
Haywan said.
A full tummy always makes me sleepy.
Shall we head back? I asked the girls. Or would you like an evening stroll around the base?
I think I've seen enough.
Becca laughed.
I want to put my phone on the charger, too, and maybe give another go at reaching Mum.
Are you lot getting phone signals?
Gary asked as we stood up from our table.
I've not been able to go on Tinder for ages.
Are people using dating apps? I asked. When there are dinosaurs running around the Earth?
Yeah,
the red-haired man shrugged.
Why not? If the world ends, you might as well have some fun, eh?
Well, that's true, I smiled. Have a good night, guys, and thanks for everything you do. You're brave men. The two soldiers smiled, and they looked grateful to have someone thank them for what I imagined was painstakingly tiring work. I put an arm around each of my girls as we headed back outside and tried to ignore the putrid scent of the large body. The sky had started to turn a lilac color, and although it wasn't late, a wave of exhaustion washed over me. When we got back to the hut, I noticed our motorbikes had been parked right outside for us, and in the living room there was a box with a note on top, which hadn't been there before.
What's that?
Haywan asked, and I strode over to the mystery item. To Jason, Becca, and Haywan, I read from the note. I cannot thank you enough for your service. You showed great bravery in a world that needs bravery more than ever before. Please enjoy your evening. Kind regards, Commanding Officer Bly.
What's inside?
Becca asked in a voice that was a mix of fear and excitement. I lifted the lid and felt a grin spread across my face. Two bottles of champagne were nestled there along with a small knife to help pop the corks. I pulled the bottles from the box and held them up for inspection.
Huh. Seems like being a hero pays off,
Becca said as she reached for one of the bottles.
And they're nice and chilled.
How come our stay in a small hut is more luxurious than a castle? I laughed.
I say we put on a movie and crack the champagne open,
Becca said.
Who knows when we'll be able to do this again?
Agreed. You girls pick something to watch and I'll get some glasses. I opened one of the small cupboards that contained an assortment of bowls and mugs and found three glasses of different shapes right at the back. I grabbed the glasses and popped open the first bottle while the girls read out various movie titles.
I think something funny is the right choice,
Haywan said as Becca turned the TV on.
We've had enough horror for these last few weeks. I want to laugh.
I handed the girls their drinks and took the middle seat of the sofa. Haywan curled up on my right, and Becca made herself comfortable on the left. Both girls took a sip of champagne and smiled. To us, I said as I raised my glass. There's nobody else I would rather be on this crazy ride with. The girls clinked their glasses with mine, and then Becca hit play. I sat back on the sofa with a happy sigh and watched Harold and Kumar on their journey to find a White Castle. We kept the champagne topped up and laughed harder than we had in weeks. It felt like we were just students again for a couple of hours, when we could get tipsy while watching a bad movie in someone's apartment and not worry about what tomorrow would bring. As Becca popped the second bottle open, night had settled in, and Haewon rested her head against the back of the sofa with her eyes closed. "Bedtime, my love," I said gently, as I tucked a lock of ebony hair behind her ear. "Let's get you comfy." Becca smiled as I lifted Haewon up easily, and her eyes fluttered as I took her through to the bedroom.
"Jason?"
the Korean beauty mumbled as I placed her on the bed.
"I love you."
"I love you too," I whispered, as I made sure her petite body was tucked under the covers and then kissed her forehead. "We'll be right next door if you need us." My beautiful girlfriend mumbled something and then started to snore gently as I turned the light off above her. I watched her for a moment, my badass warrior queen of many talents, and felt myself smile. Haewon rolled on her side, and I quietly closed the door as I stepped back into the room with Becca, who had poured me another glass of the sparkling booze. "I'm feeling a bit of a buzz," I laughed as I took a sip and warmth filled my chest. "Not exactly used to alcohol these days."
"Me too,"
Becca said as she sat back on the sofa.
"This old dinosaur thing has done wonders for my health."
"Risking our lives daily, but at least our livers are happy," I said, as I sat down beside the blonde. Becca had put on another movie, but with champagne coursing through my veins and a gorgeous girl beside me, I didn't really pay attention to the TV. The Brit had taken her jeans off, so her bare legs were on full display as she sat in her underwear and shirt. She laid back on the sofa and put her long legs out across my lap, and I stroked her soft skin as I sipped my drink. It started to rain outside, and it gently drummed on the metal roof. It was nice to have a solid roof over our heads again, and I smiled at the blonde when she glanced toward the ceiling.
"Sounds nice."
"Much better on a roof than on a tent," I agreed. I ran my hand up and down Becca's legs, and she started to wriggle every time my hand went past her knee. "You look so beautiful," I said, as I gazed into her soft brown eyes.
"You make me feel amazing, Jason,"
Becca whispered, as my hand ran up her thigh slowly. Her breathing quickened as I gently ran my fingers further up her leg until I reached the soft fabric of her red panties. "Let me make you feel more amazing," I said, as I put my glass down and laid down beside her. It was a tight fit, which meant I had to lie on my side while I touched Becca. I wasn't complaining, as I had the wonderful view of her body as I started to brush my hands gently over her mound. The gorgeous blonde bit her lip and stared up at me with her wide eyes as I teased her. I bent over to kiss her, and her soft mouth tasted like champagne as her tongue found mine. Becca pulled at my shirt and then helped me pull it over my head. When the fabric was gone, the blonde ran her nails down my chest as we kissed, and I felt my body shudder as my nerves tingled all over my body. I brought my hand up over her body to squeeze her huge breasts under her top. I pinched her nipple between my fingers, and she gave a little gasp as I squeezed her soft skin. "You better keep quiet, baby," I said teasingly, as my hands roamed over her breasts. "We don't want anyone outside to hear us." The blonde grinned at me as I grabbed the material of her shirt and pulled it over her shoulders so I could see her perfect breasts. She laid beneath me and writhed with anticipation as my hands left her amazing chest and wandered slowly down again to play with her underwear.
"Jason,"
Becca gasped, as I slowly rubbed her thighs.
"I'm going to explode if you don't touch me soon."
The gorgeous Brit reached down to my pants and rubbed my erection through the material. And it was my turn to groan. Becca looked like a supermodel with her slim frame and wild blonde hair sprawled out over the sofa. I smiled as I gently kissed just under her earlobe and pulled her damp panties to the side so I could touch her. She gasped as I slowly slid two fingers inside her warm tunnel. She was already soaking wet and ready for me. And as she rocked back and forth on my fingers, I wriggled out of my jeans and underwear. With my hard cock pressed against her leg, Becca reached down, grabbed my hard penis, and then started to gently stroke it with her soft hands. Oh, God, that's so good. A shiver ran up my spine as she quickened the pace of her strokes, and I leaned in for another kiss. As my fingers plunged in and out of her warm tunnel, I could hear Becca's breathing quicken, and her eyes fluttered as she moaned. I sped my pace up, and her whole body rocked as she grinded down on my hand.
Oh, I'm going to come,
the gorgeous blonde breathed.
Please, don't stop.
I kept my fingers moving in a rhythmic movement, and I felt her pussy quiver at my touch as she grabbed my shoulders tightly.
Oh, Jason, oh!
The blonde gasped as she climaxed on my hand, and I felt the warmth of her orgasm on my fingers.
Jason,
Becca whispered, and she barely contained a moan.
Please fuck me. I need your cock inside me now. Please.
Her begging was almost too hot to take, and I was happy to climb on top of the gorgeous girl to position my rod at her wet tunnel. I lined myself up and started to slowly insert my cock into her warm pussy. I put my mouth around one of her perfect nipples as I started to thrust deeper, and Becca quivered underneath me as soon as I was a quarter inside of her. I thrust myself deeper into the blonde, and she felt so tight I could barely think straight. Then I was as deep inside of her as I could go, and we both let out long sighs. Oh, you like my cock? I asked as I quickened the pace of my fucking, and I grabbed her slim waist as my whole shaft went deep inside her again and again.
Oh, Jason, it's lovely. I love it.
Her soft brown eyes were wide as I fucked her, and her gorgeous breasts bounced as I plunged deeper and deeper. She grabbed me close, and I felt her tighten around my cock.
Please, come inside me,
Becca gasped as I felt myself near climax.
Please fill me up, Jason. Come with me.
I looked down at Becca, and I took in every detail of the perfect sight. Her perfectly round breasts bounced with each thrust, and the curves of her waist were perfect to cling onto as I felt my body shudder with pleasure.
I'm going to come again, Jason,
Becca whispered, and she wrapped her legs around my back to pull me in closer.
You feel so good,
the blonde gasped as I quickened my pace and thrust so deeply into her that she gasped. Oh, you're so tight, I growled as I kissed her soft neck and played with a pert nipple. I fucked her deeply, and my cock plunged inside the supermodel blonde with hard, fast strokes. The warmth of her pussy started to send me over the edge, and I felt my body temperature rise as I buried my cock deep inside Becca. The sofa shook as I fucked her. We both panted as her body ground down on my cock, and I slipped a hand under her to squeeze her perfect ass.
Please fill me up with cum. I need it, Jason, please.
Her words were enough to fuel my climax, and with a deep thrust into her tight pussy, I felt a wave of ecstasy wash over me as I orgasmed. I locked my lips onto Becca's as the pleasure coursed through my cock and electrified my whole being. I could feel her warm walls tightly hold me as I filled her up with cum. Becca closed her eyes as our bodies writhed together, and her little pussy took my orgasm. Fuck! I gasped as Becca's body suddenly shuddered and her pussy clasped my cock tightly as she came on me again and again. We climaxed together and the room felt like it was spinning while Becca moaned under me. I was lightheaded and a shiver ran down my spine as the gorgeous blonde's pussy held my cock tightly. I filled her up with my cum and I gasped as she gave my cock a final squeeze with her tight pussy walls. I felt warmth drip over my cock as Becca's cum mixed with mine deep inside her.
Yes,
Becca purred.
I can feel your cum deep inside me. Ah, fuck. Oh, I love you so much.
I love you too, I said as we kissed again. Our tongues danced together as our orgasms made us shiver. I needed a moment to lie there, still inside her while I played with her perfect breasts and caught my breath.
I will never get used to how good that feels.
Becca smiled as I played with her nipple. You feel incredible, I whispered, and I slid myself out of her warmth with a shudder.
I love feeling your cum inside me,
the blonde smiled.
I want to keep feeling that forever.
Of course, I said, and gently kissed her on the head. You're gorgeous, Becca. I will always be here for you. Sleepily, we stood up and held hands as we made our way to the bedroom. I had a quick bathroom trip and then climbed in between my two sleepy girlfriends. They both nuzzled into my chest as I pulled them in close, and I fell asleep feeling like the happiest man on earth. In the morning, I woke up to the sound of Hei Wan singing softly. I opened my eyes and heard the splash of the bathwater. Becca was still asleep beside me, and thin rays of sunlight crept in through the curtains of the hut. It sounded like the rain had stopped, and I sat up as Becca stirred. "Morning, ladies," I said softly as the blonde opened her eyes slowly.
"Good morning,"
Hei Wan called from the bathroom.
"I just had to get up early so I could enjoy the bath before we go. Oh, my head,"
Becca groaned as she propped herself up on her elbows.
"Oh, we really tore through that champagne, didn't we?"
"I feel fine. I'll get you some water. Do you need anything, Hei Wan?"
"Maybe some tea,"
the Korean replied.
"I'll be out in just a minute."
I swung my legs out of the bed and stretched before I stood up. When I felt less stiff, I made my way into the next room. The small counter with a kettle and a sink had a pack of tea and instant coffee. I filled up the kettle and found three cups in the small cupboard. I heard Hei Wan go back into the bedroom as the kettle boiled, and then murmurs as the two women talked. Becca giggled, and then the room went quiet for a few moments. I threw tea bags into the cups and rinsed out one of the glasses from the night before so I could bring Becca her water. I heard the shuffle of feet, and the two girls appeared in the doorway and made their way to the sofa. Hei Wan had gotten dressed, but Becca had only managed to pull a long shirt over her underwear.
"I guess you two had fun last night,"
Hei Wan laughed as she looked at the empty champagne bottles.
"I really needed that sleep."
"Every night with you two is fun," I smiled as I handed the girls their drinks. But the drinks definitely helped too.
"I guess it's time to get on the road again,"
Becca sighed as she sipped her water.
"It's really time to go and find Mum, isn't it?"
"For sure," I nodded as I leaned against the counter and sipped my tea. "Straight on to Ravenscar. Even if we do get handed any more official government secrets, getting to your mom is our only focus now."
"I'll get dressed,"
Becca said as she got to her feet.
"Maybe they'll give us some breakfast before we leave."
"I'm hoping Bly holds out on his ammo promise," I said, as Becca made her way to the bathroom. "We really need more before it's safe to go back out there." Once Becca was dressed and we had finished our cups of tea, it was time to make a start on our journey.
"Goodbye, comfortable little house,"
Becca sighed as we strapped our armor plates and chest rigs back on.
"Goodbye, bath,"
Hei Wan said. "Hello, next adventure," I smiled. "Let's get our packs strapped onto the motorbikes and see if Commander Bly is around." When we stepped outside on the tarmac, the first thing I noticed was the absence of the dino body. A team of soldiers scrubbed the ground, where dark blood sat in puddles, but the corpse was nowhere to be seen.
"How the hell did they do that so fast?"
Becca asked. "They must have been at it all night," I said. "Impressive."
"Look,"
Hei Wan said.
"It's the commander."
I turned to see Bly stride toward us from his office, accompanied by Barnes, who carried a huge rucksack over his shoulder.
"Ah, you're up," Bly said, as the two soldiers reached us. "Excellent. I hope you enjoyed your stay."
"We did," I said, as the girls finished attaching their bags to the motorcycles. "Thanks for everything. It felt great to have a real roof over our heads for the night."
"I really must ask," Bly said. "The way the three of you fight, you're clearly experienced in dealing with the dinosaurs. Is there any way I can convince you to join us?"
"Join you?" I asked. "You mean sign up for the RAF?
"Well, not officially," Bly replied. "But I would be delighted to have you all as honorary members, to teach us all the tricks you know and help defend the base. Our teams are hard at work with the contents of that briefcase, and it's vital we make sure no creatures get in the way of that research."
We're flattered," I said, "but our only mission right now is getting to Becca's mom. I'm sorry, but we just can't stay."
"I really can't tell you how rare this offer is," Bly pressed. "There's nothing I can do to convince you."
"I'm sorry," I said firmly. "We appreciate it, but our job is getting to Ravenscar."
"Well," the commander sighed, "I admire your commitment, I really do. If you are going back out there, the least I can do is make sure you have supplies. Barnes?"
Barnes swung the large pack from his shoulder and laid it on the ground in front of me.
"We topped off the motorbikes for you, and these are just a few refills of ammo," Bly said. "I hope it helps. I need to get over to the lab, but I wish the three of you the best of luck. I'm sure your mother will be overjoyed to see you."
With that, the commanding officer gave us a salute and carried on across the runway toward one of the white tents.
"Good luck," Barnes said gruffly. "If you ever find yourself back in these parts, you have a bed here."
"Thank you," I said, and the large man nodded and then strode after his superior. "Let's get the ammo loaded up," I said, as we crouched down to unzip the bag. When I pulled the zipper open, Haywan gasped, and Becca grabbed my arm. Inside, there were not only boxes of bullets, but two grenades, an axe, three bulletproof vests, a small ammo can with a belt, and a pile of food.
"Wow! This'll do nicely."
"Amazing,"
Becca said, as we started to pull out the supplies and pack them away.
"These vests are so light, too. And look at all the food."
We couldn't stop grinning as we packed our new supplies away and loaded up our rifles with bullets. Even when we had loaded up, there were four boxes worth left over, and unless we had some very bad luck, it would last us to Ravenscar. I took my chest rig off so I could try on the vest, and it fit perfectly. The girls had been given smaller ones, and as we strapped our armor on top of the bulletproof material, I felt like we had leveled up our fighting game. "Ready to go?" I asked, as I swung my rifle over my back and climbed onto my motorbike.
"Let's do it,"
Haywan said.
"Good to go,"
Becca agreed. We sped off across the runway, away from our little haven for the night, and past where the large dino had fallen. As we passed one of the white tents, I wondered what the people inside had discovered from the briefcase. Whatever it was, we had done our part of the work, and we could only hope it would help the world put an end to this. I waved at the soldier who opened the gate for us, and we left the airbase behind as we sped off north. With Haywan and Becca by my sides, a two-hour journey would feel like no time at all. Whatever the road threw at us, we would be able to fight it, as long as we were together. End of Book 4.